here we are yet again.
Yeah, and Pokey's trying to climb, fucking pull out the side of the chair. Trying to pull out the side of the chair, leave it alone, Poke. Go play with some toys.
She's like, play attention to me.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
All right, so we're doing the second part of the Sicario thing.
Day of the Soldado.
Day of the Soldado. That's when you're at Spanglish. Part Spanish and part English. But good movie. Same writer. Same cast.
Well, more or less. It had like some of the same people.
Yeah, most of the same people. Didn't have the girl, of course. She couldn't work with them anymore. But just got the damn assassin and got the Brolin's in it. He's looking saucy as fuck. Big ol' arms. I know his game. he's on the juice. But hey, man, he's fucking. That's what you'd be doing. You know, fucking. If that's what you did for a living, you'd be on the fucking juice. And it's just another good movie. Not quite as artistic as the first one. More action oriented, I would think. But still satisfying. Satisfying movie. I liked it.
I did as well. I don't know if I'd go so far as say I like it better than the first one, because the first one was kind of like a masterpiece. And I will say that this one is, you know, it obviously didn't have the same director, Denis Villeneuve, and it didn't have the same cinematographer, Roger Deakins.
It's still good, though.
Yeah, but it's still, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
I liked that the story... You know what, though? I think I preferred the story in this one, though.
Yeah, it was more fun, I think. Not really fun.
Yeah, not fun. I don't think that's the word.
more direct, more...
But also,
like an action movie.
But like more complex at the same time, too. Like with all kind of double crosses and false flags and all kind of shit going on.
They're trying to start a drug war, basically, between all the cartels. That was their secret mission. And they end up almost starting a damn war with Mexico itself, because they have to fucking attack. The Mexican army turned on them when they were in a convoy, and they killed a bunch of them, and then that ended up on the news, and the president got pissed. The U.S. president got pissed. And then Del Toro's in it. He's like he has a huge role in it.
Yeah, I like that they expanded his role in this one, because it's mostly, I don't know if I'd say it's mostly about him, but he's in it. I mean, he's kind of the main character.
He's the main dude in it. Yeah, well, Brolin also.
Yeah.
They're just two different characters with different story arcs. It's kind of like gray and black. You know what I mean? The Brolin's his shit is just he's just gray. Del Toro's just kind of black, you know. He's a creature of evil.
But he still has a moral center, though, like, which is demonstrated at the end of this movie.
Here's the thing.
What are you doing, Poke?
I
keep hearing little
conventional morality, these people live in a world of good versus evil. In this game, and in combat arms, it's not a world of good versus evil that you live in. You live in a world of evil versus evil. But what makes you better than the other evil is that you're using evil to reduce the sum total of evil for the benefit of mankind. So it's like a personal sacrifice to better the world. That is the idea. Because you can't reason with these fuckers. You got to kill them. And sometimes sending messages and doing things that are fucking terrible can psychologically a trip to the enemy to break them down. You know, there's a bunch of fucking games that you can do, and they're doing it in this movie. So I like the fact that they discuss all this. And but Del Toro, yeah, he's evil. Evil versus evil. But he's trying to benefit mankind.
Yeah.
All right. And the way it ends, you're not sure what happened. I think he was going to recruit the kid. And I think he was going to recruit that kid because I think he suspected that the kid shot him in the mouth to fake, to maybe let him live. Maybe. Either that or he killed the kid.
It's left ambiguous. Well, like I said, they're working on a third one as far as I'm aware. So they do kind of set up like a third installment.
Yeah.
And we're not really sure where it's going. It could have gone either way. I kind of thought, I mean, and hopefully everybody's seen the movie, because it's hard to talk about it without, like, spoiling it, but you know what I mean? So I kind of thought, at first, I was kind of like, oh, he's probably going to kill the kid, but then he's like, hey, thanks for shooting me in the face, asshole. But then I was kind of like, well, like you said, he's probably going to recruit him, because he does say, like, oh, so you want to be a Sicario.
Yeah.
and then it's time to talk about your future. And I was like, yeah, whether or not you have one or not. Right. But there was that kind of thing. So, and I don't know. And I kind of feel like what I was saying when I said that he had a moral center, it was because, I mean, he was supposed to, they were supposed to kill that little girl.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't a little girl. She was 16. But they were supposed to kill her, like, after everything went sideways. Because, you know, shit, I kind of made a joke, like, halfway between, like, halfway in the movie, when, you know, shit kind of just started going, like, wildly pear-shaped. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there going, and I was, like, imagining I was Josh Brolin's character being like, man, why can't our secret black ops ever go smoothly? It always has to, always, somebody always has to fuck us over. Yeah. And it just kind of always, they always get fucked over in the end.
Yeah, now, when I was talking about the first Sicario movie, I mentioned that there's a guy that I follow online. I've talked to him. His name is Larry Vickers. He's a pretty famous ex-Delta agent. And he's a real good dude, makes good videos, fucking tests machine guns out, fucking does historical reviews. But he reviewed the first Sicario movie. And the one character, the guy with the glasses, Larry believes that he was modeled after this guy. All right, it was Sergeant Major Mike Vining. Shit. Just touching this thing, I lose my fucking pictures. Ain't that some shit? That's him right there in the white shirt with the glasses. He was one of Norman Schwarzkopf's bodyguards, but he was around since the Vietnam era. He did a bunch of shit, but he was a Delta and did all kinds of spooky shit, and he just wore those damn birth control glasses. And they say he was just a fucking fantastic on the job and just supreme marksman, and just everybody liked him. But that's probably who he was modeled after. Because back during the first Gulf War, there were a lot of pictures of fucking Storm and Norman and video on CNN of Storm and Norman walking around, and he'd be out there in front of Storm and Norman all the time. Every time you saw Storm and Norman, you'd see him out there with the fucking suppressed carbines and shit like that. And you're like, who's that dude? Him. So I think the character that they used in Sicario was modeled after that guy. Well, so does Larry. Larry thinks that, too.
Even though it's, like I said, that guy doesn't really have, I think he has a slightly larger role in this one, but he doesn't really have that big of a role. Like I said, it's definitely a supporting character.
Yeah, it's a supporting character, yeah.
But, yeah, so, if you don't know, like, okay, so this movie, I kind of like this because it's not, it's a sequel, I guess. But you could watch it as a standalone. Like, you don't have to see them both. I guess it helps if you do. But, I mean, it's its own story. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily a continuation of the first mission. I mean, other than, like, all of the characters, like, having the characters reappear and stuff, and that's probably, you know, helpful to watch the first one. But you don't really have to have seen the first one to watch this one. You can follow it without that.
Both of them were standalones.
That's what I'm saying. So it's almost kind of like it's set in the same universe with some of the same characters, but it's just like a different mission.
I have a feeling the first movie, Sicario, I think that was just going to be a standalone. I don't think there was going to be a sequel because it didn't even set up for a sequel.
Yeah, and it didn't really.
Written, the way it was written and the way it ends, it was very self-contained. So I guess just in case they didn't have a sequel, it would be like just Apocalypse Now. There'd just be one. You know, it was good. Real good.
Yeah, I kind of wonder like when they started talking. Maybe because the first one was, I don't know though. I feel like a lot of movies, particularly ones that aren't parts of big action franchises or anything like that, even if it's really successful, which the first Sicario was, and you know, even though it got a lot of Oscar nominations and stuff like that, it's like a movie like that doesn't usually get a sequel. This is not usually, Sicario isn't usually the kind of movie that they would normally do a sequel for. So, I don't know. Maybe it was just the writer, Taylor Sheridan, and he was just kind of like, oh, I like that, you know, Benicio del Toro character, Alejandro, and he's like, and I want to do something else with that guy. So maybe he just went there and said, hey, let's do another standalone movie, but with the same characters, and it'll kind of be like a sequel. I don't know. I don't know how that came about, but it's the same writer, like I said. So this one, I don't know. Like I said, I kind of liked Emily Blunt in the first one, but I liked that this one was kind of the same thing, but it was also kind of like a different thing. Like, it didn't really have a character like her. This was basically just following. You didn't really have any good guys in this. I mean, everyone was varying shades of, like you said, from gray to black. Everyone was, there was no, like, good guys in this. Whereas Emily Blunt was set up very much as, like, the good guy. You know what I mean? She was kind of the only one that was still, like, thinking, like, trying to follow the laws and everything like that, whereas nobody else was. This one, like, nobody's trying to follow laws at all.
Even and the little girl wasn't good.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody in this. So it's pretty grim. But I don't know. Like, it's, I don't know if I'd call it, like, entertaining necessarily. Like, it is entertaining, but it is also, like, really, really grim. But all of the characters, even though they're all differing shades of bad guys, are all, like, really interesting.
Yeah.
So
The deaf guy was good.
That's right.
The deaf guy
The deaf guy from, like, two scenes. Yeah. He was, like, the only good guy. Yeah. And I'm sure, like some of the poor, like, immigrants, like, on the bus and everything like that, they seemed like all nice people and everything like that.
The deaf guy was mystified. These guys just coming out of the damn desert with this little girl. And he's like, that's that girl that's missing, isn't it? One of us kidnapped, you know? And it was good. That was a really good scene. And they were like, how do you, as a soldier, and how do you know about sign language? Which is ridiculous, you know? Fucking, you guys know me. Fucking Wesley, my cousin's deaf. I know sign. I grew up with sign. So, yeah, you never can tell. Anybody, the soldiers have a fucking wide variety of backgrounds. They're not monolithic. But I just thought that was funny dialogue. I guess a person would think that.
Well, I mean,
Del Toro wouldn't know sign language.
But I would kind of think if you were a deaf person, you would probably just assume that most people wouldn't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? So any random rando that wanders up on your property, you're just going to assume they don't know sign language.
Well, that was the girl, though. That was the girl that said that, though.
That's true.
How do you know about sign language? Well, she was a little kid, though.
But she was a teenager, and she had grown up in a really, privileged, sheltered environment.
Yeah, she was a narco's
daughter.
She was like a narco princess. She had her own 30-room mansion with cars and shit like that.
That was one of the funny lines. Like, that guy was like, I wish I was a teenager.
Yeah, that was the guy that was prime modeled after Sergeant Major Vanning. He was like, fucking, I wish I was a teenage girl. That's
what he said. Well, not every teenage girl gets their own 30-room mansion. I certainly didn't get one.
But
this kind of shows, like, how fucked up all of these kind of operations are and how easy it is for everything to go drastically awry, right? I mean, even at the beginning where you have supposedly, members of ISIS coming in through the Mexican border and, like, blowing up people in Kansas City. And so this kind of stems, like, the guy who is from the Department of Defense or whoever, like, the guy that Matthew Modine is playing. And they're basically like, okay, well, we want to send a message or, like, punish the Mexican cartels, but they seem to be all, like, peaceful at the moment. So let's fuck them up. Let's go in there and stage, like, a bunch of false flag operations to get them to fight each other. So they basically go in there, they assassinate one high-up guy, like the lawyer, I think for the Matamoros cartel. Like, they go in and assassinate him, and then they say that it's the other cartel that did it. And then they go and kidnap the daughter, the 16-year-old daughter of, what was his name, Carlos Reyes, who was the guy that told the people to kill Alejandro's family, right? So that's why they brought him, like, back on this mission. So, yeah, it's pretty fucked up. So now they have this teenage girl in custody, and they're trying to make her think that the Matamoros cartel abducted her.
Yeah.
So they put her in the safe house, and then they, like, they're just kind of, like, have all these other people come in and, like, hi, we're, like, the Americans and we're here to save you, even though it's the same people that took her. So, yeah. And so she's just kind of, like, wagged around with them. And eventually it gets to a point where the Mexican army, the Mexican police and shit like that, like, turn on the American operation. And at that point, like, they end up shooting, like, a whole bunch of Mexican cops. And then the Mexican government has a fucking freak out about it. And they're like, oh, the little girl saw all of that. So now she's got to be eliminated. Yeah. And, you know, Alejandro has to be eliminated. And there's this whole thing. And then there's that other subplot with, like, the kid, like the teenage boy that's kind of being groomed into, groomed into one of the cartels, essentially, like helping, like, smuggle people across the border and shit like that. Because they find out later on that the whole ISIS people, like, coming through the Mexican border, that didn't even happen. Like, they just, like, the cartels just faked that. So even like the information that they were acting on, like at the very start, like was not true.
Yeah, that's right. So was the Del Toro guy, he was on the run after that because they wanted to kill him, right?
They were going
to
kill him. Well, and
so he must be on a run.
Yeah.
So that must
well, because Josh Brolin called him. Like, he at least gave him the thing where he warned him, and he's like, look, you and the girl, like, we got to rub you out. You know, that's what we're supposed to do now.
That's right.
And so he basically just said, good luck.
Yeah.
Well, you
so
know
he
what
probably
mean?
Did recruit that kid because he would have needed him.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But see, now we don't know. Like, did everybody think he was dead? Because
they probably just thought he was on the run.
Well, because Josh Brolin like saw him get shot.
Yeah.
Because remember
right.
they were up in
that's
the helicopter
right.
and he was
that's
like
right.
he's like, oh, I'm glad that's we didn't right. have to do that because they were supposed to kill him, but that was his friend.
Yeah, they didn't see him after that, so they didn't know he survived the bullet. The
right.
Bullet wound. That's right.
Yeah. Right.
They think he's dead.
Right. Which probably is the best scenario. Right. Because
I was thinking that they saw him afterwards.
No,
they didn't.
They didn't really bring that up because they saw him die. They, like I said, they saw him just laying there in the quarry or whatever with that other teenager that they shot.
He didn't get into the green truck until after the fucking helicopters left.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Right. So they don't know. So they think he's dead.
That's right.
Which, like I said, is probably good for him.
Yeah.
Because, but then, like at the end, when they jump ahead, they jump ahead a year.
It's not. It's good for him. They think he's dead, but it's not over. The third one's coming out, so you know he's going to be in it. He's probably going to have to clear his name and get himself cleared, and get himself off the hit list. That's what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
And then probably the only way to do that is get dirt on somebody.
Yeah, I'm interested to see because I mean I think he's the best character. I mean Josh Brolin is great in this too.
Yeah.
Like I liked him because he was. I think Danny Rowling said something about it. You know, when he got his arm all fucked up. Like, did he get shot or stabbed? I can't remember. But he got, like, his arm got all fucked up, and they were like,
he got shot during the, he got shot during the helicopter scene at the end, right?
Well, this was kind of more like halfway through the movie. Where they kind of, like, fucked up his arm.
So much shit happened, I'd have to watch the movie. I'd have to watch it again.
And he was back at the thing, like, kind of trying to some stuff over it.
And they said,
well, that's going to need stitches. And he said, oh, well, good luck for me. Like, you know, I'll still need stitches tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, like, what's-her-name comes in and says about it. And he's like, fucking Mondays. You know what I mean? Which I thought was, like, super funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's just, like, he's a funny character. But, like I said, I kind of like, too, that even though Josh Brolin's character and Benicio del Toro's character are, you know, Matt and Alejandro are their characters' names, but even though, obviously, they're not good guys and they do all kind of terrible things, they both had, you know, they both couldn't go all the way with it. You know what I'm saying? Because when you get to the end, like, Benicio del Toro, he basically, like, took off with that little girl. And then they said, hey, we're going to kill you. And he's like, yeah, I can't let that happen. And he just, like, took off with her. And then it turned out, too, that Josh Brolin was supposed to kill the little girl, and he couldn't do it either.
Yeah.
And he's like, so he's going to get in trouble because he was supposed to wipe her. He was supposed to, like, eliminate her because she saw all of the shit. Because they were trying to cover up the whole thing where they killed all the Mexican cops because the government was pissed. They knew that the little girl was there and saw the whole thing. So they're like, yeah, you need to get rid of her.
He's going to figure out some way to flip all that around. Save everybody's skins. That's what'll happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if they do a third one. Like, are they going to carry on? I imagine they're going to carry on maybe from, like, the repercussions from this. Because, like I said, I'm sure Josh Brolin's character is going to get in trouble for saving that girl when he was supposed to, you know, get rid of her. He was supposed to kill her, but he couldn't do it.
I don't know how old fucking Josh Brolin is, but he was looking good in this. Fucking his arms and shit. He was fucking training and stuff. And he doesn't look like he did a bodybuilding routine. He just looked like he did a performance routine. He was fucking rejuvenated. He looked fucking strong. Which, you know, I like it when they look like that because then you can buy it, what they're doing. If a guy doesn't look... He looked strong enough to do what he was doing. You know, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, I can't say...
I just thought you were going to say something else. I never know when you're done talking.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, I like it when they look the part. He looked the part in it.
And this movie isn't that old. It only came out 2018, so it's only 4 years old.
Yeah.
So there's that. So I don't know what he looks like nowadays. Well, he's in shit all the time. He was in the Marvel movies, wasn't he?
What year was this again?
2018.
2018. Okay, so he looks still about like that.
So it was 3 years. It was 3 years after the first one.
Yeah.
That they made this one. You know, it's kind of a shame. Like I said, they didn't have the same cinematographer. Although the cinematography on this is nice. It's not as beautiful as the first one, but. And it's kind of sad, too, that the guy that did the score of the original one, he died. So they got, like, the guy that worked with him, I think, like, on the score in the first one. So the score in this one is similar, you know, so it's kind of the same style, which I liked. And it's interesting, too, how both of these movies had European directors, you know. Denis Villeneuve, the first one, is French, obviously, and the director of this one was Italian. And interestingly, I don't know, he might have made other movies, but the director of this has mostly just done Italian TV. Which I thought was kind of, well, you see, he did a good job. I really liked the action sequences in this one. I think they were really, like, well-staged because they weren't, I don't even know if I'd call them so much action sequences because they were filmed, like, the way they were shot was, like, really realistic rather than, like, trying to be glamorous or cool or anything like that. They were trying to, like, put you in the situation.
There was a lot of practical effects.
And there was a lot of practical effects. Yeah, some of the stuff, like, especially the stuff, like, the people blowing up at the beginning and, like, all the people getting shot and stuff were, like, real, very visceral. It just kind of felt like you were really there.
There was a good scene where Del Toro is in a damn vehicle. And some bad guys, this is towards the end, he's already fucked up, he's all shot up, he's been shot through the mouth and everything, through the teeth, and his face is all swollen up, and they came up behind him and got up next to him and shot at him, and he fucking tossed a grenade with his left hand. Hard to do. All right, those things are fucking heavy, and they don't throw that well. He fucking tossed it, and it goes in there, and they slow down, and fucking trying to get the grenade out, and it goes off, boom, and it was a good practical effect. It was definitely an explosion. Unfortunately, they always get the explosions wrong. They'll use explosions that are red, like with flames, because it's easier, I guess, and it looks better on films. It's not what a grenade actually looks like when it goes off. It looks like a flash cube, and then a white shockwave around it, and it just fucking blows everything off of it. You see fucking pieces of clothing fucking fluttering down like fucking feathers coming off a fucking bird and stuff, you know, high explosive, bad shit. And if it's in closed area, it fucking just, like in a car, just blows every fucking window out of it, crumples a car up. But it still looked good, even though I could tell that wasn't a high explosive, it still looked good. It looked like it really did blow up.
Yeah.
It just, you know, but it looked like a gasoline explosion, but it looked good. It wasn't too big. People think that those things go off big. Like, my problem with Predator, those explosions are too big. Nah, fucking grenade goes off fucking like a glorified firework. But it's intense, it'll fucking kill you. Especially, like I said, in an enclosed area. It's high explosive. Just the shockwave's like getting hit with a fucking bat. And it literally blows pieces of clothing off of you.
But yeah, I did like that particular explosion inside the car. I think was really well done.
Good.
It didn't look like it might have been CGI, but it didn't look like it.
Yeah.
And like you said, I think the reason that they use explosions like that, I think that like it just like you said on film, it does look better when it's kind of like orange and red and everything, because that's what most people's idea of an explosion is.
If you were to actually film a grenade going off in that situation in a car, it would look like a flash cube. It would look kind of disappointing, but then you'd see a big white puff, you know, and shit flying. You know, you can see, you know, war footage and of you know, things fucking HE going off, but
it just doesn't look very cinematic.
It's not as cinematic. It's not a cinematic.
So that's why.
Yeah, I mean, the actual explosive in there is a little bit bigger than a ping pong ball. There's not much in it. It's enough, though.
Yeah. But yeah, I really just did like the kind of the grounded reality of it. They really didn't make it look like, I don't know, like not glamorous necessarily, but they didn't overdo it.
They didn't make it look like an action film.
Right.
In an action film, it's kind of, you can tell there's a certain edit to it. They wanted to make it look more like war footage.
Yeah, that's kind of more what it looked like. Like I said, if you were like embedded with, you know, it kind of looked like that.
Yeah. Fucking shooting people and shit never looks as cool in real life as it does in the movies. In the movies, it looks as cool in real life as it does in movies. Just if you guys want to see what it looks like really looks like, there's a fucking YouTube channel called Police Activity, and it's all the damn body cameras. off the cops and all the shootings, and you see, you're like, you almost laugh because it's so stupid. Dude doing something, oh, and he falls, you know. And, you know, like, why'd he do that? What was the plan there? You know what I mean? Fucking, it just, dudes are stupid, you know. Why would you chase the...
Dudes are stupid.
Dudes are stupid. You know what I mean? Fucking guy has a pocket knife out like that, and he'll fucking charge fucking five cops, all fucking barred with AR-15s and
that's
shit.
That's some suicide they by just police fucking kill you right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think.
Dumb.
They want to die, but they're like too cowardly to do it themselves, I guess. So they're just like, well, I'm going to make cops shoot me.
Well, they're responding to something that the dude did. You know what I mean? Fucking stealing shit from a store or something, and then they just, fuck it, I'm going to die. And it, dumb. But it doesn't look very action-packed. And you can see real gunfights. They don't really look that action-packed when you look at security camera or you know, body camera footage or even gun camera footage, you know. It looks like slow motion compared to what it would look like in the movies a lot of the times. One of the most action-packed gunfights I ever saw was security camera of two Mexican cartels shooting it out in front of a damn store. And it involves a car drives up. It's like a vehicle ambush. And about six guys in there open up on them. And they kill some of the guys fucking instantly. And then other guys start pouring out and returning fire. And they're shooting at each other from across the street. And then the car comes back. And it went on for a long time. And dudes are jumping out the doors to watch the gunfight. And fucking bullets are fucking ricocheting and impacting all around the door frame. You're like, dude, get back in. But little fat boy wants to see the gunfight and shit. And he's like 40. Wants to watch the gun down. And he's got his fucking Mexican cowboy hat on.
Yeah,
wants to
like,
see the whole shit.
I don't need to see the gunfight. I'm good.
Yeah, fucking, you know, rounds are impact and go, oh, you're doing good, you know, fucking, it was wild. Yeah, fucking Bee's Nest is in there. He knows the exact gunfight we're talking about. He showed it to me. Yeah,
but like you said, when you see real footage of stuff like that, it doesn't usually look like
that. No, it doesn't look that good.
Well, because like I said, the whole thing about a movie experience is you're supposed to, like, it's supposed to look cinematic, you know what I mean? So it's obviously going to look like way, like, larger than life and, like, way cooler than shit looks in real life.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see, like, the real shit and you're like,
Yeah. Dude's getting gacked over really fucking nothing important and shit, you know, and just dumb luck. And, like, why are you doing this, you know? Why resist, you know? If they arrest you, you're only going to be in there for a couple weeks, you know? I don't understand why are you resisting, you know?
Just, well, if they had that kind of foresight, they probably wouldn't have gotten into the position they were in the first place.
Right.
You know, so there's probably that. If they had enough kind of, like, chill to, like, realize that. But, yeah, so I don't know. So did you like this one better than the first one, or... I don't know if I can say that. Like, they're different.
They're different.
Like, they're kind of the same, but you can tell it's the same writer, but... I think they're different enough that they're just both good on their own merits. Yeah. You know?
The first one is kind of like a drug war special operations masterpiece. I think what you came up with was good, that it was kind of like Apocalypse Now, like a more modern version.
Well, I didn't
Apocalypse.
Come up with that. I just read it somewhere.
You read it, though, but you came up with it, so you told me about it. I'll give you the credit.
Okay, thanks. All
right. So, kind of like Apocalypse Now. The second one, you can tell it's the same... writers. You could tell it's real close, but it's just a different mission and more stuff happens in it. It's good.
It's kind of a more complicated story than the first one, I feel like.
The second one's almost kind of like a damn Godfather movie with some more action in it.
Yeah, although I would hesitate to call either one of them an action movie.
No.
Because that's not really their primary focus.
Yeah.
Like, there are, like, some good action sequences in it, but that's not really the whole point of the movie.
Almost, I don't know, kind of like the way I remembered Scarface. I haven't seen Scarface in a long time. But
man,
just,
we should rewatch that. Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time.
I haven't seen
either.
It in a long time, but it's just kind of a... It's just a narco movie with some special operations guys. And one of the things that I liked about it is it just showed deception, you know, how these... special units will just deceive their enemies by, you know, attacking them in the name of fucking, you know, like they'll attack a drug cartel and claim to be another cartel to get them fighting each other.
Yeah, that's the whole
other.
Thing that and they were
like,
trying
and
to
just,
do.
Yeah, and just
it's like, hey, we're gonna kidnap this little girl, like, and say that it was the other cartel that did it, just to get them pissed off and like fighting again.
There was a bunch of weird shit, you know, kind of like this that happened And it happens now. It happens today. But the stuff that's been declassified that you kind of can talk about, at least some of it, would be like what Max Sog was doing in Vietnam. And some of the shit that they were doing was fucking pretty dirty, you know. Basically attacking friendlies is one of the things that they would do. To test them, or to punish them, or attacking a friendly that was actually involved with the enemy, but you couldn't let that get out. You know, just stuff like they did shit like that. Because there was a lot of corruption in the South Vietnamese government, and you really weren't at war with Laos, but they fought some of those people. And the same thing with Cambodia. They did things to Cambodians that they weren't supposed to be doing. But that's just the nature
people
of
always
what that
is. Doing shit they're not supposed to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when all this war shit's going on.
Yeah, and the money's involved, and fucking people's careers are involved. These dudes have fucking pools they need to make, and they need to dig pools, and they got to have
private jets.
And
new wing on the mansion.
And they got to get promoted and look good in front of their bosses, and they just... Most of it at that, it's called echelons above reality. The higher up you go, the less those people know what's actually happening. They mostly live in a world of lies and illusion. Only the grunts at the bottom know what's really happening. And they're telling the chain of command what the chain of command told them to say. They only want to hear what they want to hear. They'll say, fix the problem, but don't tell us this and that. That's not what we want to hear. We want, if that happens, you get demoted. But if this happens, you'll get promoted. So everybody's lying. So, especially in places like Vietnam. Most of Vietnam was about lying about what the enemy kill count was and dividing it up between the Air Force and artillery units and stuff so everybody could get promoted. And they were all, we claimed to kill all those people in Vietnam. It was a fraction of that. A fraction. Most of it was highly inflated. So you could get promoted.
Yeah.
It's just, that's all it was. I think it was probably, casualties were probably pretty comparable on both sides. It's probably 50-50. According to, there was a Vietnamese general that knew the truth, and he said it was nowhere near what the Americans said. He gave what the real figure was. I don't remember what it was, but it was a lot less. But he knew how many were actually killed. It wasn't that many. Wasn't as many as we claimed.
That kind of reminds me of when I worked for the Scientologists, and they had this whole like system where every job that you did like had a point total, and your point total was supposed to be up every single week, which is impossible, obviously.
Yeah.
So we would just start making numbers up after a while, because why would
That's all they
want
to hear.
That's what I'm saying.
They want you to lie to them. And
sure.
And that the army
That's what we figure.
The army's like that. Most of these don't trust these government agencies. Hell no, they're all doing that because that's what they're told to do. It's just it's a scam, you know. So yeah, it's the army was what would be a good way to describe it? It was a corporation of death. It was basically McDonald's of death. You know, how many hamburgers are we gonna sell? Well, they're lying about the amount of hamburgers they sold. That kind of shit, you know what I mean? But it's the army, you know. Lying about how many people that they killed. Although they don't do that anymore because that's not what they're asked to lie about, you know. Vietnam, they were asked, they wanted a very high kill count. And then they would say, well, at this rate, the war will be over in 6 months. And that shit drug on and on and on and on because they were just lying. But the guys up top didn't realize everybody was lying to them. The dudes in the middle pretty much knew, but the guys at the top didn't. Because they inadvertently told everybody to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, that's what happens.
If
you're just basically like, well, you're going to get in trouble if you don't do XYZ, then if you don't do XYZ, you're going to tell people you did XYZ.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, like I said, same thing that happened when I worked as a Scientologist. We all figured it out pretty quickly.
So this whole thing about the United States Armed Forces and shit, and world-class military, I was in the 90s when it was like one... in its best condition, probably. And it still wasn't all that good. It was good, but it wasn't that good. It didn't really stress generalship or leadership. It was more obedience and doing what you're told. And it really wasn't about creativity or thinking out of the box. It wasn't like generalship like you'd have in World War II. It was more run like McDonald's or a corporation. It was about numbers. Everything was done by numbers. And it doesn't really work.
Well, that's easier for people to wrap their minds around, I guess.
Yeah. And General Officer Corps, just they're not even military, really, most of them. There's just too many of them, and they're soft, cushy jobs where you put flunky rich kids, and they don't have military backgrounds, a lot of them, and they just stuff them away in some corner, and then it's a do-nothing job, and it's just free money, and there's a lot of those, and it needs to be very streamlined. And all these agencies in the government, in the federal government, are like that. They're like federal jobs programs. They're not doing anything important. If anything, they're hurting everybody just by doing stupid shit. If that all vanished, things would probably be better, because they're just confusing the situations. No, the government machine is just, it doesn't really work. And at any level, really. Local level, state level can be okay. But the bigger it is, the more it sucks. It's just, you can't control chaos, and the world is chaos. You just can't control anything. And they want to control the world now. Policemen of the world. Oh, no, that didn't work. Didn't work. And that's kind of what this movie's about. It kind of shows you that.
That was nice. Nice bringing it back around.
Bring it right back. You can't control what people do.
But yeah, I actually really did like this movie. It didn't get quite as good a reviews as the first one, but it did get pretty decent reviews.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was good too. Like I said, I don't think it was better than the first one, but it was different.
That doesn't mean anything. It's still good.
Yeah, it's still really good.
I'm definitely seeing the third one.
Oh yeah, if they do a third one, I'll totally watch it, because both of these were excellent. So let's wrap this up, because I have a whole bunch of stuff that I'm way behind on that I really need to get to. And so tomorrow is our main show, and we're going to be doing a show about good old John Wilkes Booth, the guy that shot Abraham Lincoln, which everybody should know. But yeah, he's kind of an interesting dude, so we're going to do a show about him tomorrow night. And do we have anything else that we need to add? All right. So thank you for dropping by and hanging out with us this afternoon. And we will see you guys again tomorrow for the main show.